Hi, I'm Paul, and this is Heart of Glenanus, a program about the cultural and service organisations around your town and in the region. Well, this is a beautiful, sparkling, crisp Glenanus morning, and I'm at 123 Gray Street. This is Richard's Maker's Shed. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Paul.
I've got you before you open your shop and your gallery and your workshop. Can you tell me a bit about it?
I've lived in the area for going on 5 years. When we moved to the area, I brought my studio with me doing the silver work. I worked from home, did small workshops and sold at markets and things. And then 12 months into our living here in the Glenanus region, we found this little shed at the end of Grey Street opposite the RSL and turned it into the Maker's Shed.
Well, it seems like a perfect building for what you're doing. You were saying before it's had a few lives, the building?
Yes. It's been, well, most recently when we took it over, it was a church. Before that, it's been a dwelling and a pet shop, and most famously it was started by Mr. Whitby, and his name still written on the back wall in pencil.
Yeah,
he was a bit of an institution in the area.
It was a shop, was it?
I think he was a second-hand dealer. Some people say it was the local op shop. The main focus is my jewellery, which I make here on site, and bowls and vessels and things. That's always been the main focus.
So that's what you're doing when a workshop's not on and when there's not someone visiting the gallery?
Correct. Mm. Being the only jeweller on the street in town here, I get a lot of repairs through and things like that, and people bring a special stone or something they want remodelled. But work's coming from far and wide lately. I've just finished a piece for someone in Darwin. They found me online or something. It's just, yeah. Are there no jewellers in Darwin? I don't know why she would send it to me. But
no good ones.
No, well, that's it. Yeah, I've just got to bash out a little plaque for someone this morning. She'll be picking it up. The tasks that I've dealt are many and varied.
A while ago you were telling me when I visited that what you're doing in Glenanus would be difficult to do elsewhere.
There are opportunities in small communities to really feature locally made things.
Yeah.
In eastern Brisbane, in the Cleveland region, I wouldn't have been able to afford to have this sort of a thing on the main street, to have exposure. And it's so important to have locally made goods and services readily available and in front of people, I think, on the main street.
In addition to the workshop, you've got a gallery out the front here and, as you say, a lot of locally made things. Can you walk me through a few of the permanent parts of the collection here?
We do lampshades, handmade lampshades and other products by Casting Light from Dorigo, Carolyn and Leanne, fantastic pair of women who stock us with beautiful lampshades. They're very popular around town. I've just introduced a new line from Sandra Royal, who's a local talented seamstress and maker at So Many Fabrics. She's given me a few of her beautiful shawls to sell.
These are the shawls on the table, are they?
Correct. Yeah. They're very unusual.
Yeah, they've got droplets hanging down.
Phil Doy from Fig and Spoon in Inverell. We have his beautiful carved spoons and handmade pencils. Beautiful beeswax candles from Sandy Flat from Austral Candles. They use beeswax from Inverell.
And you were telling me that they're also an ecclesiastical supplier, is that right?
Yeah, they make them. They've sold all around Australia as ecclesiastical candles for churches and things. Some of them are enormous, like several feet long. Another one of our stalwart artists is Anita Stewart, who's our resident ceramicist, and she runs classes through the Glenanus Pottery Club.
That's the one down by the TAFE, is that right?
Yeah. So she's fantastic. I love her work.
You've got bags over there.
Jackie Barrett from Hare and Tortoise with her beautiful car caddies. We sell recycled denim aprons, which are made by a guy in Inverell, Chris Webster.
And the workshops that you're on, how do they work? How long are they and what are people aiming to do in a workshop?
My silversmithing workshops are a one-day event. They start at 10, finish at 4. But they can go to whatever someone's finished. So they're aimed at people with no experience at all, and they'll come in and all the silver is supplied and other materials, even throw in some stones if someone doesn't bring one, they want one.
Yeah.
And they'll leave at the end of the day with a piece of jewellery like a pendant or a ring or a pair of earrings. or a brooch. Yeah, everyone leaves happy.
And how often do you run those? I know there's one tomorrow, but how often do you run those workshops?
We schedule at least one a month. We do our we schedule our events at the beginning of each season. So on our website, themakersshed.org, we have our workshops for the season coming up.
Okay.
But also, if someone wants to contact us through our website and they want to stage an event with a number of people, we can schedule that for them.
And I was looking at your sign in the window. You have a book club as well?
Yes. The book club meets every third Saturday of the month, mm-hmm. and participants read a book leading up to that and come along and discuss it over a cup of tea. It's also judged. Each book is rated by the book club members, mm-hmm. and the winner at the end of the year at our Writers' Festival in October receives a little trophy that I've made, a money prize.
So the book club chooses living and local authors?
Not only local authors. Some of the book clubbers recommend a book that they would like to see read by the group. And some of the books that we have are local. They often have a sort of a rural theme to them or a connection to our country here.
I can just imagine an author in the Appalachian Mountains getting a plaque from you going, congratulations, Glenn and his book club chose you. It'd be a surprise.
Well, actually, the inaugural winner was Kim Kelly from Millthorpe. But we did have an author out from London on our first Writers' Festival. She attended the event for us.
And Richard, have you had any surprises since you've been here?
I've been surprised sometimes by what comes out of people in a workshop.
Yes.
You get the most unassuming grazier come in with no experience or even confidence in what they're going to make. They've been roped into a workshop or something like that, or given it as a gift. And they come out at the end of the day with a stunning piece of jewellery, shocking themselves, I think.
Yes.
But that's a lovely surprise.
So they scratch their head and go, well, I did that.
Yeah, it's just the look of pride on someone's face is just really quite gold.
I was looking at your sign in the window, and you also do a writers' festival that once a year, Richard. Tell me about that.
In October of this year, we will have our fourth annual writers' festival, the High Country Writers' Festival, where we will be featuring authors, both local and national, coming to the region, coming to the Maker's Shed to talk and run workshops. And there's also a writers' retreat happening this year at Waterloo Station on the Inverell Road. Well worth the trip.
You're listening to the heart of Glen Innes. Have you thought about what music you want to have on this program?
My favourite piece of music in the world is Dead Can Dance's their song Yolunga Spirit Dance. It's completely unlike anything else. I know it's one of those few songs I remember the first time I heard it.
I had a chat with you yesterday, Richard. I'm here today for the workshop. Can you tell me what's going on here?
Okay, today we've got four people making completely individual things. I'll let each person explain as you go around and to see what they're doing.
Yeah, just
for you. Hi Faye, what are you making here?
I've decided to make a bracelet.
Yeah?
I'm going with a leather band and then like a copper base for a leaf shape, which mm-hmm. is going to be a leaf. Where's my leaf? Here it is.
Oh, you've already cut it out, yeah.
Yeah, and you can see a little leaf mm-hmm. dents in there. Mm-hmm. And then this silver will be the vein for it.
Yes.
The main vein of the leaf, which keeps going out of shape, but you can bend it back later, apparently. Yeah, and then that will wrap around the leather bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
In an effort to make something that like similar to what I'm okay. already wearing.
And did you make that one?
No, I bought this one.
So is this the first one you're making?
This is the very first time I've ever done silver smithing.
This is, okay, great.
Yep.
Thank you. Hi Zoe, what are you making?
I've decided to make a brooch. I think bring back the brooch. And she's a little stick figure. And she's in motion, dancing, not running.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to sit on the lapel of a couple of jackets. And
so you're going to put a clasp behind it?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to put some little studs like you would for earrings.
Okay.
So she'll have that and she'll be able to sit on my jacket and keep me company.
And you know that you made it yourself.
So. First time I've ever made anything jewellery-wise, other than perhaps some friendship bands as a child, but I don't think it's in quite the same level.
What's a friendship? That's a plaited thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think she's already looking fantastic.
Great. You're more than halfway.
I think so, although I fear that the soldering part's going to test my skills.
Never get excited until the piece is finished.
Yeah, never get attached. A bit like pottery. Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, I feel attached already, so there'll be a...
Let it go.
Okay, let it go.
Thanks, Zoe.
Hello, my name is Blake, and at the moment... I'm making a setting for a ring, so the ring will be for my partner, and I've just brought along some gems. I like to do some fossicking in the region that I've found and had cut, and so they'll go into this setting, which is almost complete. That's the inner ring, and then it'll be attached to my general shape of the ring and then filed down into
that folds around.
Yeah, and then it'll have the final shape. So there'll be the blue topaz in the center, and then there'll be four balls of gold along the edges. So it should look quite nice when it's done.
And is this ring for a special occasion?
My partner's birthday is in a month and a half, so if I can...
You got time.
Keep it secret. Yeah, I've got time to polish and perfect, so yeah. That should make a nice homemade gift.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Ella.
Yes, and what are you making, Emma?
I'm making a pendant for a necklace. It's a crescent moon with a star or a sun hanging in the middle of it. And I'm going to put this lovely little opal in the middle. And I'm just working on the little bevel bit to sit the opal in.
The setting for the opal.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and is this your first workshop?
Yes, it is.
Okay, how's it going so far?
Lots of fun. It's a bit of a fiddly job right now.
In the next couple of days, you can head over to the Maker's Shed Facebook page. I usually post when after a workshop, post what the participants have made through the day.
Okay.
So you can see how the gum leaf and the stick figure and the topaz ring and the opal pendant turned out.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, listeners. Have a great day.
This has been The Heart of Glen Innes, a program about the cultural and service organisations around your town and in the region. Thanks for listening.